Look at the time. Look at the time.
Look at the time. It is Hut in the Clock. Hut in the Clock comes a little bit early this week. Caroline Willie DeMace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. And joining us now is Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. Hutton, always appreciate you for stopping by. Let's talk some Titans free agency. I saw yesterday an article on ESPN.com had Hollywood Brown and Chidobe Awuzie, wide receiver and cornerback, respectively, to the Titans in free agency. Those would be two guys you would look into, and is that enough for the Tennessee Titans? What should the Titans' approach in free agency be?
In a word, is that enough? No. No.
It's not even close to enough.
No.
No. Guys, I don't know. I'm seeing a lot about T. Higgins, about a sign and trade with the Cincinnati. You mentioned Hollywood Brown. I like Calvin Ridley personally. Jacksonville's going to owe more on their cap if they keep him, and it locks in. So I think he'll be gone. Personally, I would go through the draft for wide receiver. I would spend money on the offensive line, and that's not sexy when it comes to the NFL draft, or waiting around to see, because we've seen them wait and we thought they're going to do wide receiver last year. They didn't. I would load up on the offensive line, spend the money there. I think that's a better investment. And I think you can hit on wide receiver nowadays personally. I would let those guys, especially with the idea that Hopkins is back with Levis, let him lead that room. And I would center around, knowing that there has been success. If you're going with the trend of the new age NFL, Kansas City just went back-to-back without Tyreek Hill, which is remarkable.
But Kansas City also has something that you do not.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, no doubt. No doubt. But I'm also viewing it from, Brock Purdy was also in the Super Bowl because of the wide receivers that they have around him and the help that they have around that quarterback. So I load up in the draft. They don't have a lot of picks. That's the other issue with all of this. So they're going to have to go pick and choose in free agency. They've got money to spend. That's good news. They've got an overhaul. So in a word, no, that's not enough. And you can name a bunch of players that are better than the roster they filled it last year. So sure, bring them on.
I know it's really easy to say, well, just trade back. Pick up more picks. You need a trade partner. But let's just live in a fantasy world where there is a trade partner to trade back to 12. 13, 14, pick up an extra pick next year's draft or another second round pick in this year's draft. And there would still be a player at a position of need, a good player at a position of need at 12, 13, or 14. Would that be something that you would entertain if you ran the Tennessee Titans?
Well, it depends on the offer and where the quarterbacks slot in. The problem is, Caroline, I think the quarterbacks that are going to go top 10 will go ahead of the Titans, personally. There's going to be a huge run on, I think, wide receiver and offensive tackle. I would get the premier offensive tackle if I'm waiting there. Again, I'm assuming that the value is going to be there on the offensive line. This is a great year for offensive line. There's going to be 70 offensive linemen at the NFL Combine next week. 70. That's insane.
Is that like an overwhelmingly more than maybe any other year?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, normally you have 70, have a group of 70 at the skilled positions, right? Mm-hmm. I was talking with Jim Nagy, executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl, and he said that there are probably, there are at least 10 to 15 linemen that are truly top two rounds, top 100 players. So, and they had them at the Senior Bowl. This is a great year to be offensive line needy. And by the way, the league is offensive line needy. There's some bad offensive line play. I think that's part of the reason why the offenses look so bad in total. But I think a lot of teams are going to rush to get those guys. So, I mean, if you're trading back, Caroline, you're trading back because a quarterback fell, or you addressed your offensive tackle needs in free agency, and you're letting someone go up and get a guy that's going to be a potential franchise player. That Titans, personally, go get elite talent and use them in year one. That's my motto for 2024. If you're a rookie on this team, it's time to play and expect that you're going to see some improvement throughout the year. instead of the slow play, especially the first rounders at key positions. I'm not wasting a first round pick on a guy that needs to be slow played by trading back and getting some late first rounder. Go get a guy that you can address. Go get Brock Bowers if you're looking to trade back instead of trading back. Again, get help and get the elite talent that other teams are willing to trade up for. And if you're sold on Will Levis, go get him help immediately.
We'll talk with Jonathan Hutton discussing the Tennessee Titans and their and the holes that need to be filled for this team upcoming season.
We don't have enough time, mate.
Yeah, we really don't. But looking at this offseason, the one question I do want to get your answer on is Treylon Burks, because we've looked at just about every position and the coaches that they brought in, and we say, well, Callahan should straighten out, you know, Bill should straighten out the offensive line woes, and the guys that play, you know, Skoronski, he should be better because you're bringing in Bill Callahan. Nicholas Petit should be better. Hopefully he will be better if you're bringing in a Bill Callahan, a guy that is known for really transforming offensive linemen. Why are we saying that for Treylon Burks now being put in, potentially being put in an offense that is geared more toward passing? Because my thing last year with Treylon was, with the system was, you didn't make him a priority. And when Vrabel got on the airwaves and said, we don't do that for players, that was a bold-faced lie, because you were doing it for D-Hop, which he deserves. Oh. And you see it across the board with every team. So when you say we don't do it, but then the next following game, you come out and you target him, you know, the first three or four passing possessions, that means you wasn't being truthful. So why aren't we saying that about Treylon Burks and what they could potentially do with Treylon Burks now that he's seems to be more in a pass-happy offense?
So you're bullish on Burks, right?
Yes.
You still think he could be a number one guy?
Because my thing is, I see it.
Mace.
Yeah.
He needs to act like it.
Yeah.
Right?
And you're right. You're right. Absolutely.
So part of this is on Treylon Burks. Mm-hmm. There was a sentiment. And again, we're about to find out what's true and what's not, because the old coaching staff is out.
Mm-hmm.
There was a sentiment that he's not trying very hard to get back to the field whenever he's, you know, got a bum knee or whatever it was that he was dealing with outside of the concussion stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about the concussion stuff. I'm not trying to make light of that. But we went through the bye week and there was a, you know, he could come back and it wasn't back immediately. You thought he'd be back after the London trip, for instance. There was a sentiment that he wasn't necessarily feeling up to par, ready to go. Well, I mean, I don't know, you know. You only hear whispers about that. There wasn't anything like there was just pressing that was calling anyone out. But at the same time, there wasn't anything saying the opposite. We heard a lot about that, by the way. There was a Carthon Vrabel whisper that was going around that they waited until week 18 to address. Point being, first off season is what it, whatever. He came in out of shape. They blamed it on asthma, whatever. He was out of shape. Second off season, big one for him. And we still haven't seen that progression because of whatever reason. He's in the training room. Sometimes it's just that happens. It's football. No one's healthy 100%. Mace, with this offense, knowing that Will Levis, for instance, has the best setup and the most investment that he could possibly have given the coaching hire and the change, Burks has got to feel the same way. Mm-hmm. And if I'm Treylon Burks, I'm spending an off season with Will Levis. Aren't you?
Oh, absolutely.
I'm looking at the – I want to see that. I mean, again, that's on the player as much as it is the system and the coach. The staff would be dumb not to use Treylon Burks' talent, but the talented player has to be ready to go and has to be invested to be the number one guy. I don't know the behind the scenes aspects of it. I raise my hand and fully admit that, but you're right. He's got number one talent. I need to see that. You see it in him. I don't see it on the field to the point where, I mean, you're absolutely right. They feed the football to DeAndre. Look at how many targets DeAndre Hopkins had in that New Orleans Saints game, week one, mm-hmm. right? Like that's all they did was throw the football his way with Tannehill. And if Burks were reliable, Tannehill would go to him too. I want to see more of that. And I want to see the climb up the ladder. We saw We saw Chigakonkwo, for instance, who's going to be on this team. They need him. Chigakonkwo, Mace, he went through a lull, but then we saw him get back to producing something towards the end of the year. That needs to happen to carry over for him. Burks didn't show that to me, right? Like that, I've never seen that from him to where I'm like, man, he's got some momentum now and he's starting to click. It's got to happen. And I don't know what he would pull in a trade, but at the same time, I don't know if the Titans can afford to trade the dude. They need to make something of him, and this new staff needs to view him as a piece to the puzzle, not a detriment that in some trade asset for another pick. Because I mean, they're not going to be able to swap the investment they already have in him, and they've made some bad investments early in these drafts. It's the reason why we see the turnover in the front office.
And if the Titans wanted to trade him, I don't know what you get in return. I don't know what the market looks like for a trade
right.
Burks.
Yeah, but again,
hold that thought. We're going to take a quick break.
I feel like they're better off just trying to invest in him, but he needs to invest in the actual job of not just playing receiver, being that dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Look at it from Hopkins' view. He's one more year here, right? One more year in Nashville. Burks is supposed to be the number one guy, and Hopkins is supposed to be the two. Mm-hmm. And that is not anywhere close to the case here. But right now, they're going to draft a guy, and Burks is going to be the three. That should piss him off. And I don't want to see him play content. And again, maybe he doesn't. I just don't know, D-Mace. I don't know the mindset of the player. And I want to see the guy that played at Arkansas with KJ Jefferson.
We're going to take a quick break. Jonathan Hunt will stick around with us coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game and The Game Nashville app. Jonathan Hutt and Hot Mike with Hutt and Withrow is with us now.
Yeah, you're right about that, Hutt, with Treylon Burks. You know, eventually it's going to have to be on him. But I just see the and granted, listen, the word potential – can ultimately get an individual fired, a head coach
French
fired.
For not good enough.
Yeah. But I do, and I have seen the potential. And to me, if you're going to give him a chance to be your one or your two, you have to approach it as such. I don't think the last coaching staff, mainly the head coach, they didn't approach it that way. Once they got D-Hop, they were like, okay, our offense is going to shift. And Treylon, you get in when you fit in, and part of it could have been the injuries where he wasn't on the field as much. But I just thought they could have got a lot more out of Treylon Burks than what they've gotten in the last 2 years.
I see where you're coming from, except for the fact that before they got D-Hop, they stuck with him as their number one and literally had no one else, Mace. They didn't even address it in the draft until the seventh round. Like, so they're giving us two different messages on him with that, you know?
No, you're like, right.
That's the weird part of all of this. They treated him as the number one and that we're okay and we're set and this guy's ready, and then didn't use him whenever he was actually on the field. There's a disconnect. And again, this could be a reset for him. Mm-hmm. I don't think that he's some, you know, beta. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think he's withered away, because I saw the guy play 2 years ago at Arkansas. What he did there is not what he's doing here, but that doesn't have to be all on him. I just don't know. But what I do know is he can only handle his end of it. Mm-hmm. And he's gone from a player that you mentioned potential. He's got it. Mm-hmm. But he's also a player that I don't think of when it comes to, okay, here are the factors as to why the Titans are in this game this coming Sunday. I don't look at him as the guy that you are consistently counting on. He can be the X factor. I don't put Treylon Burks in that column yet, and that's on him as much as it is on it's not like the quarterbacks wouldn't go to him. They don't have anybody else to throw to. You know? Like that's on the field, we've got Jameis Winston calling his own plays in the final game of the season for Dennis Allen, but yet the quarterback isn't going to go to Treylon Burks if he's reliable. I mean, you know what I'm saying
yes,
here. But he's got to be on the field, number one. And number two, prior to all of that, I hope he treats the offseason like it's his rookie year all over again with the brand new staff and he's on a different team, because guy's got tons of potential. And I'm with you. Like, he's 16th overall pick. Like it or not, he's going to be compared to AJ. And he's missing that one. That AJ just had that one chip on the shoulder all the time. He's always got to be pissed off about something. And that's the comparison that I can't make with Treylon Burks, because I just don't know. I don't get that same sentiment.
Yeah, you're right about that, Hutt. I think his mindset, his mentality has to change if he's going to be that number one guy. If it doesn't change, I don't see how
and
he can be
if
that
he had
guy.
That, Mace?
Yeah.
If he had that, Vrabel would love him, right?
Yeah. Well, we'll see, because like Vrabel's gone now, so we'll see.
I know. But if he had that energy, that vibe to him, mm-hmm. I think that's a Vrabel-type player. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm reading into it the way I am. I mean, Vrabel wants to win games and did. Burks does too. I need to see more there, and it's hard to just count on the fact that he's going to bring it. That's why they have to draft someone that's better.
You can't count on anyone.
I know.
On him to bring it. Why? I can't put all my eggs in that basket.
At this time.
And that was the wrong decision.
Their plan was to not even address the position.
I don't think it was necessarily the wrong decision. We're talking with Jonathan Hutton. I don't think it was necessarily a wrong decision. I just think that, like Hutt said, at one point they did look at him as their number one because of what they did in the draft. But then you go out and get D-Hop, and then the whole focus shifts. So what caused that shift in their focus as far as him being the number one to him now being the number two? And frankly, he was the number three or four on this team when he played, So I get it. I do understand. Quickly before I pass it to Willie, you mentioned outside of the tackle position, what are the positions they should address in the draft, or what are the positions they should address via free agency? Because free agency comes up before the draft, so they can probably have a few things sort of checked off their box before they enter the draft.
I would load up on corner in free agency. Mm-hmm. I mean, they wanted to give Byard a pay cut. I think that's more of a sentiment of Carthon wanting to shift money from safety to outside corner. Because right now, all you're bringing back is McCreary of the trio of that top group as of now. So I look at free agency at corner, center as well. There's some free agent centers are available. I'm getting a top end center, because without Ben Jones, I felt that was a huge piece missing last year. And the progression of Will Levis, I'm not bringing in a rookie center, and I'm certainly not bringing back a smaller center that we saw last year that was overpaid based on the value of the position. Again, I'm wide receiver, offensive tackle. I'm addressing both areas of free agency in the draft there. And I mean, what are they going to do at running back? That's the other piece to this, is what outside of Spears, what's that other link? Are they going to get the San Fran version of kind of the same type of guy? Or are we going to see a 1-2 punch and like a change of pace type back? I don't know, but we'll have that answer sooner rather than later. And defensively, I mean, linebacker, and of course, on the defensive side of the football, what happens up front? Because, I mean, that's where they have their most investment. They've got to that's to me is on the front end of putting pressure on the quarterback. They've also addressed the corner position based on their defensive coordinator. And I think they're going to invest on the outside there, which will also help the pass rush. And on the offense, it's offensive line first. I think regardless of what they're doing, you can invest in Will Levis by just getting him more protection. Keep him healthy. Keep him healthy. That's easier said than done. But with Callahan as an offensive line coach, I don't think they're just going to tiptoe through free agency and not address it until the draft. I think this is more of a clean sweep on both areas at the two positions, corner and line, and that's just based on the big hires that they've made.
The center and the other running back to put with Spears really intrigue me. Those two things that you just brought up there. Hutt, by the way, we're talking to Jonathan Hutton as we continue to look at this Titans offseason, the free agency period, the combine, the draft, all on the horizon here. So, Hutt, I was thinking this. There's a lot that could shake out in where everything goes with what the Bears decide to do with Justin Fields before the draft. But what do you think is going to happen there? Like, if you were a team, and take the obviously the Titans are not in the mix here, But I'm just wondering who bites and offers them something that's worthwhile. Because I can see the Bears being a little bit on the fence here, but they probably won't be able to resist the temptation to grab one of the shiny new toys when you're at the top of the draft.
What does Caleb Williams want to do, Willie? That's my first question. I'm flipping it because his dad is going to continue to chirp. There's going to be drama there. There's going to be drama there. Cliff Kingsbury's the OC in Washington. They have the second pick. Cliff Kingsbury was with Caleb Williams last year at USC. There's something up with that. There's something. Caleb Williams is addressing on Instagram when Kingsbury got the gig. Eli Manning did this. It's possible. Mm-hmm. Like, you can speak your way out of a team drafting, and that brings the value down if you're not into Caleb. If you're going all the way up for Caleb Williams, I would invest in Justin Fields personally. Justin Fields, though, needs a restart, needs a reset. Caleb Williams going to Chicago, too, I think is not going to work because Eberflus, I don't know why they brought him back. I feel like a year from now, they're going to be resetting an offensive coordinator and a new offense for their rookie quarterback, personally. And Virginia McCaskey, great, great lady, 99 years old. Whenever she passes, this could be a team that is up for sale because they have so many children that are not invested in football that the inheritance taxes are going to be interesting here when it comes up for vote on what to do with the team. There's got a lot of things that are in flux with that organization, more than just the stadium. The rookie that goes to Chicago is in for a long 4 to 5 years, because I think you're in for more than just a reset after year one, like Bryce Young's going through, like Will Levis is going through, like Trevor Lawrence went through. It's not easy to just not be able to progress your rookie year the way you're supposed to in this league at that spot. Meanwhile, you know, feel pretty good about what Stroud is doing in Houston, and he's got his OC back for another year. Ben Johnson continues to stay in Detroit, so Goff is going to continue to do his thing. Point being, it's just I think we're in for a wild few months here because it's the Heisman Trophy winner didn't have that great of a year, far from it, and made more headlines on what his dad was saying about some things than anything else. I'm intrigued because I think it's more than just Chicago's decision.
I think that's a great point. And the other thing that really intrigues me about the whole thing is, as we know, the first round quarterbacks are always a mixed bag. I don't care who sure. the names are or what year they are. As great as you might think Caleb Williams or Drake Mays is, I mean, you just don't know until you get them out there. And you've got Justin Fields, who's right on the fence. You've got some people that are saying he's never going to get there. And then you got others right. that are saying, okay, well, you know, give him a chance. Put him on a decent team. He's going to keep getting a little bit better year by year, and he is obviously a talent. But this is what's intriguing me. If I'm sitting back there, I'm saying, you know, I kind of like Fields, but mm-hmm. I don't want to overpay. I'm trying to use the fact that all the forces are pulling the Bears. It's almost like they're locked into taking a quarterback
yes.
with the first pick. And so that probably puts them in not a very good leverage position to deal Fields. So what if the offers for Fields just aren't really good? That what do you do then? Could you possibly hold on to him?
No, because you have to pick up his option.
You don't want to give him away, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, you would have. He has a fifth year option that they can pick up, which they have done. But they also, like, he's due an extension. So if you trade him, the team's going to have to extend him and give him the contract. I like his skill set. I don't think he's had much investment around him there. Part of it's on Fields, part of it's not. Again, I'll go back to the whole Burks thing. Fields has got to show it too. I just don't think he's going to be right. able to show it in Chicago.
He's got flaws. He's got big flaws. For sure.
I mean, I think if I'm a free agent quarterback or if I'm a rookie quarterback, Washington is a team I want to land with because of Terry McLaurin and Jahan Dotson. I mean, you're stepping into a spot where you can have assets and you're throwing the football around a bit. You got DJ Moore in Chicago, but that didn't help out. They didn't feed him the football enough a year ago. New OC coming from Seattle. But, you know, Russell Wilson's going to be available, Willie. You've got Kirk Cousins, who's going to be on the market. Ryan Tannehill's available. Of course, the rookies and Fields. So Pittsburgh's in looking for competition, quote-unquote competition for Pickett. Atlanta is in the quarterback market. There's plenty of teams that don't necessarily have the draft capital to move around and move up to the top two spots. And the other thing too is what do teams feel like about Drake May, who's not being talked about but is the number two guy right now? Where is he on this hierarchy of how close is he to Williams compared to the rest of this quarterback crop? Because that's ultimately what you're judging, and that's ultimately the haul that Chicago can get. Chicago should go with Caleb Williams if Caleb Williams is going to be the guy there, if he's invested there. But I just that there's just too much chatter every now and then that just following the Manning model. If they want to go somewhere, and that was already out there whenever we thought Arizona's had the number one pick, it was already out there that he didn't want to necessarily – he was considering coming back for a year based on who was going to have the top pick. I don't think that just goes away in the ether, personally.
I feel like there hasn't been a lot of conversation about any of these quarterbacks outside of Caleb Williams in such an interesting quarterback market.
I'm not energized by this group the way I thought I would be when the college football season started, personally.
I'm with you. I'm with you there.
Yeah, it's just – one of these guys is going to be great. You know, odds are, you know, like if a quarterback goes 1, 2, 3, like it's projected top three picks, one of those dudes is going to pan out. It's all about fit and you have continuity with your coaches. I guess Washington's going to have that, I guess. But again, I don't think it's going to happen in Chicago.
Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow. Hutt, appreciate you for stopping by. Appreciate you for working with the schedule change, and we'll chat with you next week.
Yeah, thank you. I really appreciate it. Always enjoy this. Have a great rest of the week.
All right,
appreciate
you
too, Hutt. Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow. Appreciate him for stopping by. And I think the idea of spending heavy on the offensive line in free agency and drafting a receiver, the idea of that, of loading up and – whoa. Loading up as I just knock the microphone next to me. The idea of loading up in free agency at a position of need so you don't put so much pressure on the draft, on filling those positions of need in the draft, I understand and I'm on board with that sentiment. I just don't know what offensive linemen there are in free agency to spend on. Because you look at, you know, Tyron Smith will be available potentially in
but
free
he
agency.
Said he
but
he
might go back to
Dallas.
The Cowboys.
Yeah, he said he wants to stay in Dallas.
Lloyd Cushenberry is a center that could be available. But I think that the Broncos might place the franchise tag on him. Dwayne Brown is another one that could be available, left tackle in free agency. But he's hurt.
Yeah.
So, and I didn't look at every single offensive lineman that could be available in free agency. I just don't know what you're really going to get. Like, is that the smart position to spend on in free agency?
I think what happens, let's just say the offensive line, because free agency will come before
the draft.
And I think a lot of us believe that the Titans will go left tackle. Now, they could go receiver, you just never know.
But if you pick up a free agent left tackle.
Yeah, then are you looking at, it has to be a left tackle that's young enough that you can see at least 5 years out of them, because you don't want to get a guy, bring him in, you only get a year or two out of them, and then you got to repeat this cycle all over again. So if you do go out in free agency and get a guy, it has to be a guy you see that's going to be on your roster when you head into that new stadium. I always point to that new stadium as that's when the Titans, they need to have their team that's going to compete for a Super Bowl, regardless of how you slice it. When they walk into that stadium, they have to have a team that can compete for a Super Bowl.
What if they don't?
It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for the fans to buy in if you don't have it. You got a new stadium. You're asking people to pay all this money, but you don't have a team that's ready to win. You got to have it.
I'm with you.
Yeah. You
want to get off to a good start.
Absolutely. So I would like to talk about this more because it's interesting how they can potentially approach this because free agency comes up before the draft. And you just named it. There's not many top-end tackles or guards, for that matter, that are going to be on the market. And if they're on the market, then either they want a lot of money or there's something wrong with them.
Well, let's continue this conversation coming up next. Free agency versus the draft. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, we are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.